Amen. Hey, we are going to stay in Judges this morning. We were here last Sunday, and we didn't really look at Samson last Sunday. We looked at how we got Samson as we looked at his parents and how they were told they were going to have a child. We're going to pick up from that story. We're not told anything about Samson as a child. We're told that he was born, and then we get him as an adult. So the next chapter in Judges, chapter number 14, off of where we read last week, we pick up with him as a young man, headed out, ready to get married. He's still a young guy, and he's a judge in Israel. And we're going to pick up in chapter 14, verse number 1. I want to read verses 1 through 6 as we look at this message titled, Out of the Strong, Something Sweet. Out of the Strong, Something Sweet. It says this in Judges 14, 1 through 6. Samson went down to Timnah and saw there a young Puerto Rican woman. Nope, I mixed it up. That was what happened to me. Samson went down and he saw a young Philistine woman. When he returned, he said to his father and mother, I have seen a Philistine woman in Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife. Things were a little different back then in how a marriage would work. His father and mother replied, Isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised Philistines to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, Get her for me. She's the right one for me. His parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines, for at that time they were ruling over Israel. Samson went down to Timnah together with his father and mother. As they approached the vineyards of Timnah, suddenly a young lion came roaring toward him. The Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him so that he tore the lion apart with his bare hands as he might have torn a young goat. But he told neither his father nor his mother what he had done. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this word. I know that through this account, while the story is somewhat intriguing and exciting, I know that you give it to us not simply for historical record, but you give it to us as well, Lord God, to be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So I pray, Lord God, that as we consider this chapter in Judges today, that you would equip us as your people, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would help us to live for you more effectively as the children of God, as your sons and daughters, in the name of Jesus. Church from home, even if you would pray with me right now, Father, I ask you, speak to my heart through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Samson wants to get married. Samson wants to get married. There are single people out there watching right now. If I asked where are the single people who want to get married, go ahead and raise your hand. I can't see you, so I don't know what you did anyway. But there are single people out there, and not everybody who's single wants to get married. Some people aren't ready yet for it, and we're at different phases in life. But Samson is single, and Samson has decided, I'm ready to get married. I want to get married. And he has to take a trip to go down in order to marry this girl that he wants to marry. I had to take a trip to get married as well. I had to take a trip from Pennsylvania, where I was at the time, to a little island called Puerto Rico. And in fact, I was broke and didn't get the money together to buy the ticket to Puerto Rico until like a couple of weeks before the wedding. And this was back in the day where you had to go to a travel agent. I know there are still travel agencies, but we do most things online now. And I had to go to a travel agent, and I was getting married at Christmas time. My wedding was on Christmas Eve, and we had the whole wedding planned, and everything was together. And I went to the travel agent, and I said, I need a ticket to Puerto Rico. And I was told, there are no tickets to Puerto Rico. Everything was sold out. Yikes. So back and forth we went. What about from this airport? What about from this airport? What about from this airport? Finally, I said to the travel agent, I have to get to Puerto Rico. Find an airport that will go to Puerto Rico, and I will get myself to that airport. They found me a ticket from Charlotte, North Carolina, to San Juan. So then I had to get myself to Charlotte. It was quite the ordeal to get there on the trip. Then when I got there for my wedding, while the wedding, of course, was good and everything about it was positive, something tragic happened. Something tragic happened associated with my wedding. My wife had a sister who had this beautiful Cadillac. And she had told us that we could drive her Cadillac for the honeymoon. We were going to honeymoon right there on the island. My wife had grown up there, but we were going to go all around the island. I'd never been there, so we were going to have this beautiful Cadillac to drive around the island of Puerto Rico in. And then just a couple of days before the wedding, the Cadillac broke down. And I didn't have any money for a rental car or anything. But then one of her other sisters came through, and she let us borrow this old car she had, and it was an old Datsun. It was a Datsun. It was beat up. It didn't have an air conditioner. And I had to stop and buy oil over and over again all week and just keep dumping quarts of oil in it just to get around the island and get through. But we got through, and sometimes some crazy things can happen even when something is good. As a pastor, I've done a lot of weddings over the years, many different ones. I did a wedding where the bride got to the church, and when they closed the door to the limousine, her dress got caught in the door of the limousine, and the limousine drove away. Fortunately, it didn't drag her, but it did rip the whole train off the back of her wedding dress when she was there for her wedding. Melissa's laughing. She thinks that fun is funny. It is kind of now, but trust me, it won't funny when it happened. It wasn't funny then at all. I did a wedding where one of the groomsmen, he would actually have been over to my left, One of the groomsmen, I was the pastor of the wedding, hit the deck. It was like America's Funniest Home Videos. He was just standing there, boom, he just hit the floor and passed out during the ceremony. I did a wedding that was in a home where when it was time for the wedding to start, everybody stood there and sat up, and they were like, okay, pastor, let's go. And Wheel of Fortune was on the TV so loud that I said, could we turn the TV off for the wedding? And so we don't have Wheel of Fortune on. And I didn't know Pat Sajak was an inviting guest. I did a wedding where the marriage license, it turned out, was expired. I did a wedding where the winds were so strong in an outdoor wedding that there were tables set up with glasses all over them for a toast, and during the ceremony the flowers all blew away down a hill and the tables flipped and all the glasses smashed on the patio. If you're single and you're hearing all these stories, I know what you're thinking. Pastor is never doing my wedding. I am never letting him do my wedding. Bad things happen when he does the weddings. That's not true. I have a lot of great ones as well. But of all my stories, and I've pastored for a while, so I have a lot of stories, I have never done a wedding where anyone in the wedding party was attacked by a wild animal. Never happened. This is a new one for me. I have never done a wedding where someone was attacked by a wild animal at the wedding. For Samson, he's not really on his way to the wedding yet. He's on his way to the engagement party. It's associated with the wedding. Sure does seem like it would be an exciting day, but on the way, he gets attacked by a lion. Now, I don't know what to do if I get attacked by a lion. I know that if I get attacked by a bear, I'm supposed to play dead. I've read that along the way. Maybe you know that as well. It seems like a real leap of faith if you ask me, but I know that if a bear attacks me, I'm supposed to just fall down and pretend like I'm dead, and hopefully the bear will just kind of rough me up a little bit and leave, and that's what bears do. But I don't know what to do if you get attacked by a lion. I never got attacked by a lion, so I looked it up. We have Google, of course. I looked it up, and Google says that if you get attacked by a lion, that you stand up and you raise your hands over your head. You stand up, you raise your hands over your head, you clap your hands. If you're at home, you should do this. You should stand up so you have good practice. Listen, this is a two-for-one special because I have some great spiritual truths for you. But just in case you get attacked by a lion, I want to know you're equipped for that as well. So you stand up, you raise your hands over your head, you clap your hands, and it's supposed to make you look bigger than you really are. So eat dessert because lions, I guess, are afraid if you're bigger. And you yell as loud as you can. Ah! And this is what you're supposed to do if you get attacked by a lion. Now you know. Now you know. I hope that a lion never attacks you, but now you know, just in case you do. I did hear a story one time about a guy who was being attacked by a lion, and he was running, and the lion was chasing him, and he fell down on the ground on his knees, and he started praying, and he said, "Lord, please let this be a Christian lion. Please let this be a Christian lion." And when he opened his eyes and he looked up, the lion was kneeled down with his paws together like this. And the lion said, "Lord, I thank you for this meal that I'm about to receive." Now, I know that's corny, but it's Father's Day. Come on, I get to tell dad jokes on Father's Day. That's what I do. Samson is headed to his engagement party, and he gets attacked by a lion. Friends, sometimes, even in good times, bad things happen. Sometimes, even when things seem good, bad things happen. My wedding examples are comical, of course, but in real life, calm seas stir quickly. Storms arise out of nowhere. It happens in our life. In real life, everything can look good. Everything can look wonderful. And in a moment, everything can change. That's what life is like. It was for Samson. It is for you and I. Samson's story is a great example of some powerful truths of who God will be to us when good things turn bad in our lives. And that has happened and will happen to you. So I want to share with you today, our God is an amazing Father, and these are gifts He has for us on Father's Day and every day. I want you to catch this. Sometimes things are going to go from good and bad, and that's why this first thing is so important and such a truth you want to hold on to, and that is that the Holy Spirit is a faithful companion. The Holy Spirit is a faithful companion. Now, I know that Samson will blow it later. I know that Samson will blow it later and the Spirit won't come upon him when he thought he would. I know that Samson will push his luck too far and all that. But we're not at that point in the story yet. We're not at that point in the story yet. On this occasion where we are, I want you to catch what's happening right here. Because in Samson's life, he could be making a terrible mistake and the Holy Spirit would still be right there with him. That's good news, friends. You know why that's good news? Because you and I aren't as good as we think we are. I want you to catch that. That's good news because you and I are not as good as we think we are. We could read the story of Samson and think, "I'm not like that. He did bad things. I'm not like that. I'm not bad like he was." So we could make this misunderstanding about ourselves. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 and 18 says this. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him, fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone." Jesus wasn't saying that he wasn't good. Jesus was saying that he was God. Jesus was declaring, "It's true. I am good because I am God, God the Son, who has come here on earth." He was declaring this over himself. And what we never want to do is to make the mistake of believing that the Holy Spirit is with us because we're good. The Holy Spirit is not with me because I'm good, because according to the Bible, I'm bad. Hello. The Holy Spirit is not with you because you're good, because according to God's word, there is none righteous, no, not one. No one is righteous according to God's word. So the Holy Spirit isn't with any of us because of the things that we do. I'm not good. You're not good. If you're with somebody, go ahead and tell them right now, you're not as good as you think you are. You can tell them that right there in your home. You can tell, remember it over yourself, not in comparison to a holy and blameless God. So here's the good news. Here's the good news. The Holy Spirit is a faithful companion. Hallelujah. In John 15, 26, Jesus said, "The Holy Spirit is our helper." Something happens to me on a regular basis in the grocery store. Happens to me all the time. Happens to me in the grocery store. Sometimes it happens in places like CVS or places, but it seems to happen to me mostly in the grocery store. Mostly in the grocery store. In the grocery store, I'm minding my own business. I'm pushing my shopping cart down the aisle. And people who are, shall we say, vertically challenged. vertically challenged people, people who are a little lacking in the height department. They call on me on a regular basis in the grocery store. I'm just pushing my cart along, and people who are quite a bit shorter than I am, they will speak out to me and they say, "Excuse me, sir, excuse me, can you please get one of those for me?" And at times when I go through the grocery store, it can be a regular thing that I reach for the top shelf to pull things down and hand them to people who can't reach them. What I should do is this. In fact, maybe I'll do this the next time in the grocery store. When someone says to me, "Can you help me? I can't reach that," I'm going to go like this and say, "Come on here, I'll give you a boost. I'll give you a boost up there." But I don't do that. I just reach up and get it for them, of course. In that moment, what am I? I'm their helper. I'm there to help them. I'm there to help them do something that they cannot do on their own. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is our helper. And come on, you know, like me, we're a people who need a lot of help. We need a lot of help in our lives in order to be able to live this life and do what we need to do. And in life, you're going to regularly be put in situations where you don't have what it takes on your own. But whatever it is you need, the Holy Spirit is going to be there for you, filling you with power, anointing you, equipping you in your life. Samson can't beat up a lion. He can't. If you read through the story and you think, "Well, Samson was so strong, he can beat up lions," you miss the whole story. That isn't what happened. The Bible says that the lion came, and it was the Holy Spirit that came over Samson that gave him the strength to rip apart a lion like he was ripping apart a baby goat. The Holy Spirit came upon him and did that. I want you to remember that the same Spirit who raised Christ from the dead lives in you, lives in you. Every part of life can be a time where you can have things going good and they can change in an instant. Every part of life can have, this is going very well, and in an instant, things can seem very bad. It can happen in a marriage. It can happen at work. It can happen with raising kids. It happens in relationships. It can happen with school. It can happen in our finances. It can happen in ministry. You're driving down the road. Your car just breaks down. You're doing fine. Now you feel sick. School is a breeze. Now it's overwhelming. In an instant, things can change. The Holy Spirit is a faithful companion. When the lion leaps out, whatever it is that's going to cause that disruption, he's going to be there with you in that moment. We need a constant friend, a constant companion, a continual helper, and that's who God will be. When you end up in that situation where things go from good to bad, that's when you call out to God, "God, I need your help. I need your help right now to get through this, God. This one's bigger than me. This one's bigger than me." And he'll be there for you, praise God. When you can't reach what you need, the Holy Spirit is there to help you. Let me keep moving. Let me keep moving because I have two more things, and they're very quick. They're quicker than that first one, so stay with me. I want you to watch this. The Holy Spirit is a faithful companion, but here's something else we get from Samson's story. The providence of God is always at work in your life. The providence of God is always at work in your life. What does that mean? That means God is working things out in your life. God is directing things in our lives as well. It's always at work. Now let's catch up with Samson. He went down to his engagement party. He got attacked by a lion. He ripped it apart. But then after they worked out the engagement, he went back home. Now he's coming back for the wedding. He's coming back for the wedding. And in Judges chapter 14, verse 8, we find him. Judges 14, verse 8, it says this. Sometime later, when he went back to marry her, he turned aside to look at the lion's carcass. And in it, he saw a swarm of bees and some honey. He scooped out the honey with his hands and ate it as he went along. Now, I like honey. Having a nice cup of tea, sitting there with a book. I like honey. That seems all right. But I'm not going to stand and let me say this. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I've never eaten anything that has fallen on the ground. Because you know there's that whole 5-second rule and stuff, and I believe that the 5-second rule genuinely works. Even coronavirus can't last if something is only touches it for 5 seconds. Please do not quote me or go out there, all right? That was a terrible bad joke. But anyway, so I'm not going to say I've never picked something up and eaten it, and you know you probably have as well, but honey out of a dead lion's body, that might be a little more than I could handle. I don't know that I could handle that one. But Samson is no ordinary dude. He eats the honey. He shares it with his parents. He goes down to the wedding. When he gets there, he is assigned 30 wedding attendants. They're there for him to help him. They're like his groomsmen, if you will. This is a big wedding party. 30 wedding attendants who are there. They've got about the whole ceremony. It's a whole thing that lasts like a week. It's a feast. It's not like a wedding today. And they don't have internet or YouTube, and the TV cable was out, and they don't have anything to fill their time during that week. And so they would sit around and tell stories and tell riddles and things like that. And Samson proposed a riddle to his 30 attendants. And he gave them this proposition. He said, I'm going to ask you a riddle. And if you get the riddle right, then I have to give you 30 sets of clothing. Well, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Let's say a set of clothing was worth, I don't know how much, but whatever, multiply it times 30. That's a lot. So, and these would be expensive outfits. So he says, if you get my riddle right, I have to give you, that's one each for the 30 of you. He says, but if you can't solve my riddle, you have to give me 30 sets of clothing. Well, that seems like, I mean, there's 30 of them. 30 against one. Surely we can figure out his riddle. You're on. They take him up on the deal. They take him up on the deal, and here was Samson's riddle. He says to them, out of the eater, something to eat. Out of the strong, something sweet. Now, we know the story. We know that the eater, of course, is the lion. We know that the something to eat, of course, is the honey. We know that the strong is the lion. We know that the something sweet is the honey. We know it because we're looking back, but they can't figure it out. They can't figure out the riddle. There's no way for them to know what that would be. And of course, if you know the story, it goes through how they pressured his wife to give them the answer and for her to pressure him or his would-be wife. But that part of the story isn't what I want to stick to today. I just want to come back to what happened, and that is this. God had set the whole thing up. The Bible tells us that it was God's plan to use Samson as a deliverer to bring judgment on the Philistines and to set God's people free, to deliver them from the oppression that they were under. So God had set the whole thing up. In order for Samson to have the riddle, he had to get attacked by a lion. Think about that. To have this riddle, he has to get attacked by a lion first, but God knew the Holy Spirit would come upon him. God knew Samson needed the lion because God wanted to set him up. God wanted to set him up so that he could bring judgment upon them for what was taking place. You can read the whole story. Friend, sometimes what we need isn't what we think we need, because sometimes we need the lion. I want you to catch that. Sometimes what you need is to get attacked by the lion. But you don't know it's what you need. I don't know it's what I need. But providence is at work in our lives. God is at work. Sometimes the very thing that looks like it's the obstacle is what God is going to use to bring about my deliverance. God is able to twist and turn things in such a way. That's what God did with the cross. Come on. Everything about the cross is bad. It was an execution. It was a crucifixion. But through the cross, though it would look like defeat, God was going to bring about victory because God knew that what we needed was the cross. God knew that what Samson needed was the lion. And God knows what you need, and God knows what I need. That's why James would write, count it all joy when you face trials of many kinds, because God knows sometimes what I really need is the lion, and the lion is what makes preparation for what my future holds. Come on. I wish you were here to shout amen at me, because that's a good truth right there. The trial is never your destination, but the trial is often your preparation for what is to come. Because God knows what the future holds. The providence of God is at work in your life. The divine choreographer, the Holy Spirit, is working things out. And because those two things are true, this last one is true, to pull this together. Because those two things are true, this last one is true, and that is this. Just because things look bad doesn't mean things are bad. Just because things look bad doesn't mean things are bad. Now, sometimes things really are bad. I want to sneak that in there. All right? Sometimes things really are bad. That's when you hold on to Romans 8:28. That's a different sermon. That's not this morning. That's a different sermon. You hold on to God works all things together for the good of those who love him, because sometimes things really are bad. All right? So that's a different week. That's a different message. But I want you to catch is that just because it looks bad doesn't mean it always was bad. Sometimes it can look bad, and in fact, it was actually very good. If we had been walking along with Samson and a lion jumped out, none of us would have gone, yay! Maybe you'd raise your hands and clap them and yell because now you know what to do if you see a lion. But if I had been with Samson and a lion jumped out, my assessment never would have been, well, this is good. My assessment would be, this is bad. Everything about this is bad. But it wasn't. It was good because God had a plan. When Paul went to prison, that looked bad. But God had a plan for him to write many of his epistles in our New Testament, that we would have a word from God today. When Pharaoh's army had the Hebrew children pinned against his army in the Red Sea, it looked bad, but God had a plan to deliver them through the water. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were being bound to thrown into a fiery furnace, that looked bad, but God had a plan to come as a fourth man and walk with them in the fire. When Daniel is getting thrown into a lion's den, that looks bad. When Paul gets shipwrecked, that looks bad. When Ruth is so broke, she's out in the field picking up leftovers just to have something to eat, that looks bad. When Assyria comes and surrounds King Hezekiah and the city of Jerusalem, that looks bad. Sometimes things look bad, but when you know the whole story, it turns out they weren't bad at all. It just looked like that. And when you get through it, you're able to look back and say, wow, look at what God did in my life. Look at how God brought me through that in my life. Things are going to happen in your life that are going to look bad, but the Holy Spirit is going to be with you. The providence of God is going to be at work in your life. And even though things look bad, they won't be bad because God is providing and directing and orchestrating and moving and empowering. Out of the strong, something sweet is going to come. Come on. What looked like it was bad, good is going to come from. So when that lion jumps out in your path, I want you to catch this. I'm closing with this. Katie, you can come up with me if you would. I want you to catch this. When that lion jumps out in your path, this is important. This is important here. It might not be the devil who is busy. It may be your God who is busy. Sometimes things go bad and we say the devil is busy, but sometimes the devil's probably like, I didn't do nothing. I didn't do that. The devil didn't send that lion. God had a plan. God had a plan. God knew the Spirit would be with him. God knew he was at work directing things and was going to set up to know that he had what he needed, making sure he will do the same in your life. He will do the same in my life as we trust in him. Out of the strong, from what looks like defeat, out of that, something sweet is what comes. That was the word, and that's God's word to us today. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray over us as your family. Pray over us as a church. I pray, God, we've faced many things that have seemed very bad in these months. Some of them, I guess, really have just been bad. That's why we've held on to promises like Romans 8:28. But I know some of what happens along the way in our life is not bad at all. It just looks bad to us. It's just not the path we would choose. But I pray, God, that you would help us to hold on to the truths from your word this morning and in our lives. And I want to pray this. Holy Spirit, we thank you. We thank you that you are a faithful companion. Jesus, we thank you that you never leave us and you never forsake us. We thank you that your divine providence is always at work in our lives. And help us, Lord God. Help us, Lord God, to step back along the way and recognize you're at work. Maybe it looks bad right now, but it might not be. And ultimately, we know it won't be because you're bringing about your plan and your purpose in our lives. We'll trust in you for that. We love you. It's Father's Day, God. We'll honor dads. We'll make phone calls today. We'll send texts. We'll reach out. There'll be some grilling and things that will go on. But we want to thank you that we hold on to these promises, knowing that you are our Father, even as we sing it. You're a good, good Father. We love you back. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. Hey, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there, spiritual dads as well. God bless you. One last thing, Wednesday night, boy, I hope you can make it out for our outdoor prayer time. It's going to be awesome. Live a victorious week in Christ Jesus. God bless you.